You're listening to the Family Discipleship Podcast, a podcast of training the church.
Well, hello. Happy, well, it'll be a Monday when people are listening to this. I'm going to say happy Monday, but for us, it's actually a Wednesday. This is Cassie Bryant, and I'm here with my lovely co-host, the mother to mothers and her sons, Chelsea Griffin. Chelsea, how you doing?
I'm just happy to be here. I am not a mother to mothers, by the way. I'm just a mother to my sons.
I meant like because you're a labor and delivery nurse. You're kind of a mother.
Oh, yes, yes,
you're
yes.
You're like nurturing
the mothers.
Well, not even new moms.
Yes, I give maternal energy to the moms. That is
yeah,
true. Yes.
That's kind of what I meant.
Got it.
Do you have a favorite Mother's Day memory, Chelsea?
Man, you know, last Mother's Day, I got to go volunteer at the Byron Nelson golf tournament.
Yeah.
And I'm real into stuff like that. And so the final round was all day Mother's Day. And my boys came out to like see me on the hole that I was working. And it was so fun. I felt like it combined everything that I really like. I love my boys, love golf. And so the boys got to hang out with me by the number 7 green. And lots
I don't know what that means.
By the green, that's where the hole.
Number 7. Oh, the hole. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, hole number 7. That's where I was working. Okay. And all these pro golfers gave my boys their golf balls.
Cool.
And they loved it. And I loved it. I was like high on life. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
So your good Mother's Day would be like a terrible Mother's Day for me.
For a lot. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, we are not just, it's not just the two of us today. We are joined by two moms I have been so blessed by these past few years, Bethany Bernard and Kelly Needham. And they also just happen to be very good friends. So this will be very fun. Beth and Kelly, how are you guys doing today?
Doing great.
Doing good. So happy to be here.
We're so glad you're here. You guys, if you'll tell us just a little bit about you, your families, and your ministry before we get kind of jump into some questions about motherhood.
I am a mom of 5, ranging from 13 down to 1.5. So we got the spread there. We've been married for coming up on 18 years. My husband's a pastor, started as a Christian recording artist, moved into worship pastor, is now a teaching pastor. So our life is very driven by the ebbs and flows of church ministry. And I also, in the spaces, the nooks and crannies of my life, find time to write. And so, yeah, that's a little bit about me.
You guys have a great podcast too, you and Jimmy, right?
We do have a podcast. I didn't even mention that, but we have a lot of fun. My husband, if anybody knows him, is a hoot. He is crazy. And all that crazy can't come out on Sunday on the pulpit. And so the podcast is a fun place for him to be his full self and talk theology. So we have a blast.
Yeah, that's so fun. Beth, tell us about yourself.
Yeah, I'm a mom to 4 daughters. Our oldest is 13. Our youngest is going to be turning 6. And Shane and I, you know, we met because of music. So he's in Shane and Shane. He's a Shane of Shane and Shane. And
it's not confusing.
No. And back when I went by Bethany Dillon, I met him and we fell in love and we got married about 16 years ago. But this season of motherhood and even really marriage, I'm just an introvert who I think really soon after getting married, I was like, oh, I really want to be home when you're home. And my mom was a stay-at-home mom, and so just kind of leaned in that direction. So I'm home with the girls, and we're part of a church. Shane leads, and I lead just as our area of service to our local church, and just doing the normal life stuff. And my husband as well is crazy.
True.
And so when our families get together, it's like, who's going to be the most ridiculous of the two of them trying to make everyone laugh?
They do kind of egg each other on, which is entertaining and sometimes dangerous to things inside of our houses that sometimes
or inside of our heads, like our eardrums.
Yes. Wow. Yes. We're also both adoptive moms. Neither one of us mentioned that, but we both have adopted kiddos as well.
Oh, that's awesome. Crew. Well, today we're talking a lot about Mother's Day, and we know Mother's Day can be filled with a lot of expectations, mixed bag of feelings. Will y'all share with us what kind of emotions surface for y'all on Mother's Day for you ladies? And are there any traditions that you guys have that you want to share about?
You know, my mom is still living. My dad is with the Lord, and Shane's dad is with the Lord. I would say that Mother's Day feels for me now that that's the reality, as far as honoring my mom mm-hmm. and my mother-in-law feeling honored. It's like there's kind of that weightiness in your mind of, oh, like there isn't someone more than even being an empty nester. There isn't someone at home that's going to affirm face to face today mm-hmm. what investment and sacrifice and just place of honor that they have. And so it feels weighty. And then as a mom, I'm, you know, clinically an overthinker. And so I think there's kind of this thing in me that's like, oh, like, you know, are they going to try too hard to tell me how much I mean? Are they not going to tell me enough how much I mean? And so I'm just being honest, like, we're not huge. Shane nor I are very big on like, it's Valentine's Day, let's go out. It's this day, let's go out. And so, because of that, I think I'm a lot of the time just really hungry for words. I'm just really hungry to be affirmed in how hard it is to be a mom.
Mm-hmm. I get that. What about you, Kelly?
Yeah, we're actually kind of similar. We don't do anything huge on Mother's Day or Father's Day, but I did feel like really early on in my motherhood journey, I'd kind of throw expectations of my own children out the window because it was always disappointing. You know, it's like if I have any expectation, it's like, you know, even if it's the basic expectation of, will you guys not fight for just one day? It's Mother's Day, you know, don't fight today. It's like, you know, they're just kids. It's going to happen. I just need to, it's helped a lot to put the focus where Beth talked about on my own mom, on my mother-in-law, on the moms in my life. That really mm-hmm. is the responsibility I have on Mother's Day, is not to think about what I'm due as much as what do I owe those who are my moms. Good. And thinking that way has freed me to go, I don't need to concern myself with what my own children do or my husband does, because they're going to fail and I should keep my expectations low. But I do have a responsibility to honor those who are my moms in the faith. Yeah. And, you know, I don't always do a great job of that either, by the way. So sometimes I'm like, I struggle with that. So it's good for me to give grace to my kids.
I remember my first Mother's Day, Maven was probably like 8 weeks old, and I just called my mom crying. I was like, I've never, ever done Mother's Day right for you. Like, just realizing like how much motherhood, like Mother's Day should mean. And so now I have the mindset of like, I probably won't, you know, I probably won't really get to reap the benefits or the fruit of Mother's Day until if my girls ever become moms. And then hopefully, you know, I'll get that phone call from them, because that's what you kind of realize in your own sacrificing, just how much honor is due to them. And it helps you put aside maybe kind of what you feel like you're entitled to or deserve, because you've got this mom or these moms, this generation of moms who've gone before us that, man, they've just, they've paid so much, you know?
And I was going to add one other thing to that, that focus on my own mom has really helped me in the season of infertility. Part of my journey is experiencing three miscarriages. And so that Mother's Day day on the calendar felt like a landmine in that season.
Yeah.
And that was really helpful to go, the responsibility I have on that day is to my mom. And when I could keep the focus there, it was a grace to keep me from focusing on, why don't I have this yet, Lord? Or why has this been taken from me? So I know there's a lot of women who feel that when that day comes around.
For sure. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm impressed with all of y'all's responses. Mother's Day at my house is me telling everybody what I want and what we're going to do. And sometimes me going away to do that thing. Like being at the golf tournament, I've been like, oh, well, I'm going out with a friend. Really, it sounds like taking it as seriously as maybe I should have, but I'm going to work on it.
You can take the other 364 days a year seriously.
Truly.
That's awesome.
Yeah, eventually these boys will want to play golf with me, I think. And then that'll make me seem more like tenderhearted. I'm like, I'm going to do something with my kids.
I think too, because I'm in ministry, it's like every Sunday, every Mother's Day is on a Sunday. So I'm working.
Right.
And I always think, oh, I should have taken today off. But then I would miss out, like, you know, all the kids are writing cards. And yeah. last year we, they had potted little plants to give to their moms at the church, which one mom was like, oh good. One more thing to take care of. Thanks. but yeah, I mean, it's like Mother's Day is kind of always a mixed bag. So
she's also got to take care of that raging bitterness. So, yeah. I mean, she's got a lot on her plate.
She's got a lot on her plate.
Okay. Beth, you said you're being real honest a minute ago. We're going to get even more honest. Let's talk mom fails. Do you guys have a moment where you felt like a total failure, and how did God's grace meet you in that moment?
Which one should we pick?
Yeah. Yeah.
I know. I'm like, okay, Chelsea, getting to know ya. I love it. I mean, really, my question is like, well, I guess I will share just the ones from this week, and I am not being facetious because I, you know, for one, I think just the season of momming that I'm in right now is I have a teenager, I have a preteen, I have a daughter who she's not in though, she's maybe a tween, but she's, you know, just processing her story of adoption. And yeah, so I would say, to be specific, one of my mom fails is like, I think that I just am a really stalwart person on like boundaries. Like I just really feel so strongly about even just our home dynamic of like, hey, the kids don't rule. And like, we're going to be kind to each other and have self-control and what we say and when, and not in a rigid way. I'm pretty type B, but I think just emotionally, I have a hard time with any sass at all. And one of my kids is going through a really hard time right now with anxiety, and some of that anxiety is coming out in anger. And I think my knee-jerk reaction is to be like, hey, don't, no, we're not going to be. And then the Lord totally the other morning just corrected me in the way that I'm responding to anger, because for goodness sake, I mean, Cassie and Kelly, both of you are dear friends of mine and know like, I've been angry at God in the last few years, and that emotion has been redeemed for me as far as just like using that in a way to like propel deeper into relationship. And I feel like, yeah, not to be super, super intellectual about it, like it really was gut level. Like I'm responding to her with just a wall of like, nope, that emotion is not allowed. And I'm feeling the Spirit leading me to grow some tolerance for that and display Christ. And I didn't feel condemned, because that's not what the Spirit does in Christ. I really, truly did feel like a correction with a smile of like, I know you're trying to do your best, Beth. And this is new for you. So here's kind of your directive in this season with her.
That's good.
Yeah, I would say a recent one. There's so many. I could talk about anger, losing my temper. I could talk about hypocrisy. We could go all sorts of places. But a recent one is an omission. I think a fail of omission that I have felt confronted with, that I have been with one of my children in particular, but maybe with all of them across the board, not affirming enough. There's always so much to correct in our children. And that's one of our functions. It's an important part of parenting. And one kid in particular, though, has just needed a ton of that. There's been a lot of redirecting. It's like, gosh, I don't say good job enough. I don't say that was great. I'm overlooking these small little moments of victory, or even just basic, like, thanks for doing your chores. You got that thing done. I need to verbally acknowledge it and say that. Like, I know my kids are hungry for that. And so I actually picked up what is it called? Practicing Affirmation.
Sam Crabtree. Oh, it's so good.
Yes, our staff read it years ago, and I was like, I need this. I need to grow in this. So it didn't feel condemning, like Beth said. It felt invitational and challenging.
That's good.
Y'all, when I wrote the question, I was thinking like, you know, when you sent your kids to school without lunch or something, but y'all went deep.
Oh, you want those?
I have those too.
You know, okay, good. You know, the ones that really kind of put you on edge and make you feel like, I can't even do lunch right. You know, it's like, I don't know. I've got, once Eric booked a vacation for us, this is, I don't even know how many years ago, But I didn't look at the date. He booked it. He called, asked if it was okay. I said yes. And we ended up missing the girl's first day of school. And it was like...
I remember that year.
Yeah. Yeah, you do. I was a mess. And then I did everything I could to make it right by having like balloons and Chick-fil-A for breakfast and having the mother-in-law and the aunt there to cheer him on. And the picture of their first day of school that year, I'm not in it. And that's okay. So much grace. Beth, yes. I know you talked about, you know, you're a stay-at-home mom, but you did... something beautiful that you created was the album a couple years ago that I would love to just talk about, because it's one of my favorite resources to offer someone who's wrestling with doubt and grief and mental health or anger. I would love for you to just share with us how that season of grief shaped you as a mom.
Yeah. In 2020, my dad died. It was his second go with cancer, and it was right as COVID was shutting the world down. And just going through such a traumatic loss kind of sent me to, I was in therapy, but got sent on to be assessed for OCD, just because my grief and the trauma of like being around when your parent is on hospice and all that stuff kind of sent those things in my life and in my internal experience kind of above the radar. It was like they weren't functional anymore. So I went and got assessed and had severe OCD and severe depression. And that kind of began a journey of relearning a whole lot. And so OCD itself is pretty crazy and pretty sneaky. And I think I've probably had it most of my life. And so it was also just like this relief of like, oh, wow, okay, that's what that is. And there's another way and my brain can change and yada, yada. But also just feeling so overwhelmed and really grieving like normalcy for a season, getting on medicine, all of that. And so, you know, I hadn't written songs in a while at that point and processing a lot. I think I was processing it. Also, I just kind of shut down and like stared a whole bunch and had the TV on all day for the kids. But songs started to kind of come out, and it wasn't intentional. It was kind of on walks or when the house got quiet, someone was helping me with the kids, and the songs were processing more than, you know, I couldn't really even pray or wasn't great at conversation. And, you know, I think people are going to have seasons like that at some point or multiple times in their life. So maybe you know what I'm talking about. But for whatever reason, singing and writing was the way that processing happened. And after enough of them were written, Shane and I shared with Shane, I shared them, and I shared them with my mom and a couple other friends. And it became apparent, like, oh, okay. Like, this feels like not just processing these things, but I'm seeing this really help mom to go there with some of those things. And, oh yeah, I guess there isn't a song that I can think of about someone being angry at God. I wonder if this would be helpful. I wonder if, and so a year and some change later came out with the record, All My Questions. And it's about what you said it's about. And, you know, I'm still a Christian, not because I white knuckled it. But I think what needed to be deconstructed to redeem that word,
yeah,
got reoriented really. And it was, a good hard experience of being led by the shepherd through the valley and knowing it after the fact, honestly.
I remember the album party y'all gave, you gave out CDs when the album released or whatever. Yeah. And I took it home, and I guess my girls had found it, and they had just gotten a karaoke machine for Christmas. And we woke up one morning to them singing along to Who Else Am I Supposed to Be Angry At? It was like 7:30 a.m. and they're belting it with the karaoke machine.
Oh my gosh.
This is so great. Seriously, it is such a beautiful resource though. And it's like, I remember when I first listened to it, I told you, I think it might put counselors out of work, because you could really just sit in a closet with a box of Kleenexes and it'll it'll counsel you. It's so good. How did that season you feel like shaped you as a mom? What changed for you in motherhood through that?
Oh, in huge ways. I think receiving diagnoses, you know, was an exercise in really being vulnerable and facing shame. I obviously didn't have to tell my kids, you know, or have to say like, oh, I got to go upstairs and get online to do therapy or whatever. But that is kind of how we roll as a family is like, where are you going? What's going on? And can I go in the bathroom with you? Like, and so I think that was sanctifying for me, but I also think just the subject matter of me not being okay, needing extra help, seeking help was, I hope, really formative for them in the sense of like, they just won't have the mental hurdles when and if they ever need help. And then I would say too, just, I think it has shaped me in the sense of just, it's kind of a byproduct of the first thing, but I think just even values wise, like it shaped in me just a big value of honesty and authenticity with the girls. We have, since my dad's death, received a couple few more really traumatizing phone calls of sudden death or terminal illness being found. And, you know, it's kind of like when you watch a Disney movie with your kids and you fast forward through all the villain parts because you're like, I don't want them to get scared. And I'm not even saying this is like everyone shouldn't. I'm just saying there's a case to be made for like, this is what the world is like. This is normal.
Yeah.
Because of these things, like we do know why, and here is why hope, and here is why having a savior and a hope beyond this life is so precious and so powerful.
Yeah,
because, you know, like I think obviously there are lines where it's like, okay, that's emotionally too heavy for your 7-year-old or whatever, but just it has made me really passionate about inviting my girls into really what's going on and letting them know and letting them process and answering their questions or not being just listening to them.
One of our favorite people who's one of our favorite authors coming from one of our favorite publishers has a new resource for you this summer. It's called God Is For Us. God Is For Me is the most important truth to ever capture your kid's heart. It's a new resource that's going to focus just on Romans 8. One of the most beloved chapters of the Bible. God Is For Us is a new in-depth Bible study for kids by our friend Trillia Newbell, and it's going to help you and your child see the power of the gospel and God's everlasting love for them. And if you would like to study Romans 8 together as a family, you can pick up a copy of the adult Bible study, If God Is For Us Too. These are the perfect studies to help you and your kids grow in faith this summer, and you can get both studies for just $20. Go to moodypublishers.com and look at God Is For Us by Trillia Newbell. Like I said, we love Trillia. We love this study series and we love Moody Publishers. So go to moodypublishers.com, get these studies today. Listeners, we've got a new ad from one of our favorite sponsors, my friend Claire. Shout out to you over at Sky Ranch Camps. Sky Ranch has an exciting new offer to share with you. Now, we at the Family Discipleship Podcast, we love summer camp. We believe it can be an incredible discipleship milestone for your family, for your child. Whether your child is 6 or 16, they're going to have the best week ever getting outside, unplugging from technology, being surrounded by mentor-minded counselors that are crazy intentional about their safety, of course, but also their fun and spiritual growth. So we're grateful to partner with Sky Ranch in offering your child $200 off their first week of overnight camp. Just use the code SKYFAMILY, S-K-Y, FAMILY, when you register at skyranch.org. You're going to see a clear difference at Sky Ranch. Their programs are crazy fun with a powerful purpose. So if you haven't figured out what your kid's doing this summer, or if you haven't ever checked out the ministry of Sky Ranch, go to skyranch.org today. Again, $200 off with the code SKYFAMILY.
How beautiful for them to learn the promises of God that he makes to those of us who suffer, you know, like you know, we have a curriculum that touches on promises. And one of them is that God's children will suffer and his love will sustain them. Like that is a promise. Like you see all throughout scripture, suffering happens to all of God's people. Like it's not something that we're exempt from because we love God, because we follow him. The world is broken and it's going to touch us and it's going to affect us. And it's right. A grace that our kids aren't exposed to it sooner, honestly, and that we get to have some semblance of control in our Western culture of protecting them from some of the suffering of the world. But I love that you've opened up to that. I mean, because you've had to like let your kids in and for them to see that and for you to shepherd and disciple them in that. Kelly, I want to transition shift a little bit to the resources that you've given us, which are so good. Friendish is something I read a few years ago when we were taking some college girls through it at our church, and Purposefooled I read last year, and they're both so good. So I want to talk about both of them. The first one is about friendship. It really hit home for me as I reflected on my own journey with friends growing up and now throughout motherhood. I would love to hear what wisdom you can offer moms who are struggling to connect with other moms that want to build friendships.
Yeah, well, friendship is a struggle. So if you feel that, that's normal, especially in adulthood. But friendship, I would say friendship is a need. It's not a privilege. I think sometimes as moms, we feel like, well, if I have time for that, amidst all my other responsibilities, I'll make time for it. It's like, no, biblically, I think this is a mandate. It is a necessity. It is a command. You really do need it. It is a legitimate need for you to flourish and thrive. And so to recorrect that, I think first, and then also to remember you're responsible for those needs as a mom, as a human. It's like no one knows your needs but you. Mm-hmm. I think about even the season that Beth just talked about walking through. It's like we had so many conversations in that time as life was just pummeling their family. And it's like, I'm reaching out, but also she had to vulnerably say, hey, here's where I need help. And here's where I need community. And then it's like, great, I can show up to that. But there has to be that honest mm-hmm. communication of real needs and a will. And that's real hard to do. It just is. It's hard to raise your hand to people in your life and say, I'm lonely. I would love to meet with somebody regularly. I would like to pray more with people. Would you be willing to do that? Or I need encouragement. I can tell I'm discouraged. Do you have space in your life for this or for that? Like that feels so hard to do, mm-hmm. but no one is getting a notification on their phone when I'm having a bad day. Mm-hmm. When I need encouragement, mm-hmm. when I'm struggling, that is on me to text people I know and reach out and say, the Bible commands me. I need encouragement every single day, or I would be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. And I cannot encourage myself. I need someone else to do that for me. So that friendship need in us is real. We need to make space for it. We need to be creative. And every season of motherhood is different. The newborn season is different than the teenage season. And so I feel like every 6 months, I'm kind of reassessing what's my situation and my limits? How do I make space for this? But it really is something necessary to us.
Mm-hmm. I think some of the best advice you've given throughout that resource and then when I've ever heard you talk about it is be the friend you want to be. So we can mm-hmm. spend so much time feeling like we're looking at other friend groups or other friends, wishing we had that, but then fail to take initiation, kind of what, mm-hmm. you know, to take the initiative to pursue that and to chase it. And sometimes you are the initiator and you can grow weary and feel mm-hmm. like, why am I always the one initiating? Mm-hmm. And so I think the advice of just keep being the friend that you wish you had. And then mm-hmm. the fruit of that will be rich friendships. And then, I mean, the book is full of wisdom, but I think that's some of the best advice that I've kind of gleaned from that and has helped me as I, you know, pursue my friendships with other mm-hmm. moms. It is so critical to really flourish and thrive in motherhood is to have mm-hmm. other really good mom friends that can help you navigate mm-hmm. the hard days and the hard seasons. Your other book is called Purposefooled.
I love those weird book titles, don't I?
I love it. Purpose Fooled. It's good. It's fooled like F-O-O-L-E-D for those who are listening. If you were trying to look up
kind
F-U-L-L-E-D.
Of like purposeful, but purpose fooled.
Exactly.
I get it. Words. Nothing gets by me. Okay.
Nothing gets by you.
I'm here. I get it.
It came out most recently. It's about purpose and how we can get caught up in the lies the world tells us about our purpose. I'd love to just hear you offer some encouragement to a mom who's unsatisfied with her purpose in the home.
Yeah, this is what's been most helpful to me in Seasons of Motherhood, that to remember that my purpose, like a vibrant purpose for my life, is not something out there, like outside of the limits of my home life or my motherhood life, as if like if I just got childcare taken care of, if I just got to this next season, then I could do this thing. And my purpose, a vibrant purpose, isn't in here, in my home. I think sometimes I've also kind of overcorrected and been like, okay, well, I was made to be a mom, so I'm going to really lean into motherhood and I'm going to find within my home this deep and abiding sense of this is what matters in life. And that's commendable, but that's not my purpose either. That scripturally, my argument in that book is your purpose is actually not a what, but a who. Your purpose is a person. You were made for God. And that is so much bigger and more important than motherhood, than a job, than a ministry. The very person of God is the only thing that will satisfy that deep ache. And that's been so freeing for me because there are seasons of motherhood I love and seasons I don't love. There are tasks in my home I love and tasks I hate. And that's a mixed bag for all of us, I think. And it's freed me to go, if my purpose is a person, then really how I should live is for that person and with that person. I now do my life with God and for God because that's for whom I exist. And so if my day happens to be full of tasks I don't like my little baby was just sick with a little stomach virus, it's like, I don't like those days. They're not fun days. it doesn't feel very purposeful to be washing, doing all the laundry, but it's like, all right, can I do this with my God? And can I do it for my God? Because that's who I was made for. And then when I get to do fun things I love, it's like, great, this is good, but it's not the thing I was made for. This can't satisfy. So let me take the pressure off of this ministry, off of this season of mother I love or whatever, this job. This can't satisfy me, but can I do it with God and for God? It's kind of freed me up to not put so much emphasis on the types of tasks that tend to face me or even the detours that life creates for you as a mom, those unexpected days. It's like, if that happens, it's okay. My purpose isn't in a thing that I do, but in a person I live with and do life for. And it's just infused my life with some really needed grounding, I feel like, in the big variety that motherhood is. It's always changing and up and down. And that's really helped me as a mom.
That's awesome. I love how, from what both of you shared, you've taken your experience, what's been hard, what's been grievous, and just turned it into something that serves others. And that's such a beautiful thing. Mm-hmm. Our podcast really focuses on equipping parents and church workers in the discipleship of their kids, whether in their ministry or in their home. Will you guys share a little bit about what discipleship looks like in y'all's homes?
So discipleship in our home, I will say that, I felt a lot of pressure the first chunk of parenthood, in the sense of like, man, we are not having family devotions, or gosh, I should be reading like Bible stories or the Bible to them at night, or whatever marker there was or can be, in my mind, like the ideal of pouring God's word into them and all of that. And I think, part of that is from a place of like valuing God and valuing them, knowing God and loving them. But I think the pressure was there and inevitably gave way to like failure, just missing the mark. Because for one, just with the nature of the way our life is, it's like Shane's in and out of town, or we've got someone in town that we're hosting, or someone is sick and they're sleeping in, and then who's going to help get the kids to school, right? And so to have this like rigid, this is what a Christian family does. Anyway, I don't feel that anymore. And I would say something that has really stuck is as often as I can share the hope that I have, right? Not as a rule or a law, like, but truly, like even we were just talking about, you know, my precious brother, his senior year, gets diagnosed with terminal cancer. It's like, as phone calls come in or conversations come up or happen and questions and all of that, it's like, well, am I going to say the whole truth to my kids? Yeah, I should. And trust God for that. Like, as we go, kind of like Deuteronomy mm-hmm. 6 talks about,
yeah.
is more my style. I think it's more doable in the way that our life looks. And the other thing would just be, I've seen other people like set the example in doing this of not assuming that my kids are Christians, I think helps disciple them.
Yeah.
Because I mean, to decide, like a disciple is a follower, a student of.
Yeah.
Do I think all four of my girls are disciples of Christ? I don't. I know that not all four of them are. I hope that there's a day when all four of them are, but I'm not going to talk to them in a way that assumes their salvation. Mm-hmm. That's not helpful. So I'm going to talk about my walk with the Lord Jesus and my relationship with the Word as my own, not a plurality of, like, to give space for them genuinely coming to Christ and having their own journey towards Him. And to not have them feel the pressure from me of like, you're a Christian, right? Mm. So I would say it's more of a, maybe the lack of saying and the lack of doing or like requiring from them that feels like discipling unto discipling.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Yeah. I think we're kind of in a similar boat, maybe because both of us are married to musicians and life is weird when you've grown up around touring and consistency on the daily is hard. And so it's helped for both of us to kind of zoom out and think about discipleship less in terms of what are the daily habits and rather what are maybe the quarterly, annual habits that has freed us to then go, what do we want to be talking about this year? What things do we want to do? Like we recently bought something that goes through a type of sexual discipleship that deals with just how to understand sexuality and gender identity from a biblical standpoint. And we were like, let's just try and get through that this year. And it's freed us to then evaluate week by week. Hey, is there a night this week that would be good to do the next video? But it's not like, oh, because as soon as we put it into like, it's on Wednesday, it's on Friday, it's going to get messed up. And then you feel discouraged. And my husband, more than me, is very type A in this space and feels a lot of pressure as a husband and a father to have those very rigid, consistent things. And I think it's helped him to just remember the boundaries are very broad, actually, in the Bible as far as how this should look mm-hmm, when it comes mm-hmm. to discipling our kids. We have kind of two basic, don't provoke them, and then, you know, train them in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord. It's like, okay, what does that mean? It means I should be gracious and I should have some kind of intentionality. But like how that plays out is very, there's so much freedom to evaluate mm-hmm. our own family. And our family size plays into that. The ages of our children play into that. What type of school? Our kids are in a public school. That's played into our decision-making about how we're going to do this. And tried to figure out not what everybody does, but rather what would work for us to have some measure of intentionality that feels like we can live within it with joy, because our kids also need fun. I think that's something we've been inserting intentionally into our discipleship is levity, because they're yeah. pastors' kids, because there's a whole lot of that in their life. We've decided if mom and dad can get on the trampoline with the kids once a week, that's actually going to do something for them as they also hear us talk about Jesus. And so and that's changed over years. So I just feel like there should be a lot of flexibility, but that's what it looks like for us right now is if more broad, what are the agendas in this season that we're trying to talk about or have conversations around and being able to acknowledge this summer maybe is a full one. So let's keep it real light as far as what our expectations are of ourselves as parents and just focus on that. Let's not exasperate them. Let's be present. Let's be taking advantage of those car rides and those as you go moments yeah. and not put any other thing on the schedule and let it be light. And that's okay. There's freedom for that. Yeah, that's good. I think moms universally like need to hear a word of freedom and the tenderness of Christ that is like, I am not always shaking. I'm not ever shaking my finger at you, telling you you're not doing enough. Mm-hmm. He's always calling us into something better. He's always inviting us. And every family is different. You know, mm-hmm. on our podcast, we love to share what we do in the Griffin home, what Cassie does in the Bryant home. But there is no way to make discipleship of your children prescriptive. Like you said, Beth, like mm-hmm. some families, the children at a young age feel the Holy Spirit call them to belief yeah. and faith. And in our family, we have a kid who's made a profession of faith and we have some that haven't. That makes mm-hmm. things tricky. There is no way to prescribe it from one family to another. So thank y'all for sharing that. Just so honestly about your own homes. Okay. Moms love to give advice, don't they? I think women like to give advice, which is great. What will you guys share? One of the best pieces of advice that you've received as a mom that you think might bless our listeners?
I'll share one that came less from direct advice and more from as an adult and coming into motherhood. I began to look back on my own experience as a child and have such fond feelings for my own mom and how she mothered me. And then as I began to ask her those questions or just reflect, it was like she enjoyed us. She enjoyed being a mom. And that's become for me kind of a check for me. What I'm going to do as a mom, what I'm going to do is anything that will keep me able to enjoy my children, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Like we did homeschooling for a season and it was rough. And I was losing that. I'm not enjoying my kids. I'm dreading my kids. I need a break from my kids, you know? And so someone else can teach my kids, but no one else can be their mom. And there's something that's passed mm-hmm. on to them when I enjoy them. And I don't enjoy them all the time and every day, but it's helped me insert things into my life that are restorative for me, refreshing for me, maybe taking 30 minutes before they get home from school to read a novel, because I know if I just go work, work, work straight into pickup, I'm not going to be ready to enjoy them. Mm-hmm. I need a break. And I used to feel guilty about that. I used to feel like it's just like needless self, you know, love or whatever. But now I think I see it more as, no, this really is me trying to restore and refresh my own energies so that when I'm encountering my children, what they're feeling, hopefully a majority of the time, is a genuine sense of, I enjoy you. I enjoy mm-hmm. your company. Mm-hmm. I enjoy being your mom. And that's kind of been a decision-making bar for me that I've passed on to others, is more than doing all the right things for them, but like I could, that's a version of what I could do all the right things. I could make all the best meals. I could read them all the best discipleship books. I could train them in all these things. But if I don't enjoy that and I don't enjoy them, it's a loss. It's a net loss.
Mm. Yeah.
But if I do none of those things, but sit on the couch and we eat frozen chicken nuggets that we threw in the fridge and we watch a show all day, but my kids feel a sense of, my mom enjoys time with me, then that's the win. And it's just helped me have a lot more grace for myself and make healthier decisions about commitments and jobs and other things I'm adding into my life.
That's so good, Kelly. Me too.
Is that the best advice you've been given?
Like, no, I just right received
now. That was it.
The best advice I ever got was, that's funny because the first thing that came to mind, and praise God for this, Kelly and I both really love our mom. Like, like we don't have the same one, our moms. my mom, I think, and I tell her that, and I tell her that on her birthday and Mother's Day cards and all of that, of like, yeah, I do have a check of like, okay, was my mom super stressed out about the house always being clean? No, she wasn't. I don't remember climbing over filth. It was just, anyway.
Yeah.
So she is just a measure for me of like, because on the other side of raising us kids, it's like, we all just think the world of her. So I say that to preface the best advice kind of goes with what you just said, Kelly, mm-hmm. but my mom received advice as a young mom from her pastor's wife, mm-hmm. who is just a lovely woman. And she just said, Tina, at the end of all of this, you're going to want to have relationship. Relationship is what you want at the end of it. It's not a result or an outcome. You want relationship with them.
That's good.
And so that was, and I can see that value when I look back at my childhood and even now. And so that's kind of, you know, like even with one of my kids, that's harder, and Cassie and Kelly, you know who I'm thinking of, like, and there's hard times of maybe connecting or just persevering and being the adult. And I do think of those words often of like, you know what though? I, God willing, am going to have relationship with her for her whole, for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
And I want to have a good relationship with her when she is 9, when she is 16, when she's 30, I want to have relationship. Mm-hmm. And so that gives me some guardrails. That gives me even some purpose in the hard.
Mm. That's so good. Okay. Last question. We always ask our guest how our listeners can be praying for them. So Kelly, how can we be praying for you?
That's so awesome. Well, as I said earlier, we have 13 down to 1, which makes life pretty busy right now. And so we're just hungry for wisdom in just areas that come down to commitments, what decisions we're adding into the schedule, whether it be just one-off things with people within our church family or extracurriculars. So I think that's a real ask right now, is we're really asking the Lord for wisdom for how to navigate the very diverse set of parenting responsibilities that are in front of us, along with other responsibilities. And so I would say wisdom and salvation for our kids, because as many of you guys have shared, not all of our children have professed Christ. And some are very like, yep, I understand, Mom. Do you want to talk to Jesus about that? Nope, I'm good. It's like, okay, great. That's where we're at today.
Yep.
And that is salvation belongs to the Lord.
That's right.
It just drives me crazy. I wish I could accomplish it. I cannot. Yeah. So yeah, that would be my other prayers, salvation for my kiddos.
Okay, we will pray. Beth, how about you?
I think just, I would love prayer for Shane and I both, just help from the Lord in gaining back margin. We're just in a place this last year, really, of just a lot on our plate, more just in our personal lives than anything. But I know some of that is just the outworking of like, what do we say no to and all of that. But genuinely, I feel the need for like, we need help. Like, we need his help. We need like obvious flashing neon signs of like, margin over here. Like, truly. So I think just asking him, like, please help us have that, and to just be in a place that is more restful as things stay busy, probably, and full. Mm-hmm.
We'll be praying for that too. Listeners, y'all be praying for Kelly and for Bethany. Guys, thank you so much for an hour of your morning. I know that will bless our listeners and, you know, mothers and fathers alike. And so it's always just encouraging to hear from other moms. And I knew you guys would be not just wise and encouraging, but also honest and authentic, and that, you know, so often is the most blessing, like the most encouraging thing for our listeners, just to hear like, we're all just doing the best we can do, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Chelsea, you want to close us out?
Yeah. Well, thanks for listening, friends. If you think it's as important as we do to disciple our families, please help us out by giving us a great review wherever you listen to podcasts, visiting one of our sponsors, and share this episode with one of your friends. If you want to keep up with us or join the conversation, you can follow the Family Discipleship Podcast on Instagram and Facebook. We love you, listeners. We're looking forward to all God has for us this spring.